This is tape number two. April
26, 1992. There was a beautiful evangelist, a gentleman who literally has it all about right. But there are a few things like reincarnation that he damns everybody to hell about if they believe it. Can't be, you know. Well, ones don't bother to study. You will never recycle in a lower life form than you are. Never, 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 never. A tree is a tree is a tree, and you are human. And you didn't come out of the tree, nor did you come out of the sea. And yet you can evolve a being, say, from out of the bath water of the sea, if you mix the right DNA characteristics. So God is not careless. He knows exactly what he's doing, and the order in the universe is perfection. And you hardly ripple it. That's our job, not to let you ripple it. This gentleman went to the Holy Land and went to the Mount of the Crucifixions. And someone were at the foot of the cross, and he was looking up. They have a shrine, you know, where you can now go worship something else. This is the spot. Well, what they don't know is they have the wrong spot. Just like they want to build a temple where the mosque is, both of them are the wrong spot. But it makes for a good war, and that's what we're about, isn't it? Let's have a war over what I believe versus what you believe. So at any rate, someone said, oh, I have been here 8 times and I always get this upliftment. Have you ever been here before? And the evangelist said, yes, I have. And I'm mortified because I did nothing and it was 2,000 years ago. How could it have been 2,000 years ago if you don't have reincarnation? Well, spiritually, why would you come to this spot when you've got the real thing in spirit? So ones do not think. And who told you that? Who did you get to witness being crucified 2,000 years ago? Jesus. He spilled his blood for me. He took all my sins. I felt them go. You just lied to yourself. His name was not Jesus, it was Esau Emmanuel, Yeshua. He didn't die for you, you once murdered him. He didn't hop on that cross and say, here, do it to me, brothers. Let's do it. Now that's something you've conjured up. And if he did it, how in the world does that do anything to you? Oh, well, because I believe, I know that he has intervened for me. Why would he do that? He knows the story of life. And if he only knows the story of the cosmos, he knows better than to do that. It's going to be worse than a little crucifixion to butt into your life and not allow you to answer for your own actions, whatever they might be. Nor would he judge your actions, whatever they might be. So you were lied to. So ones who wish to take that book and go through it are only going to be able to interpret it even if it were total perfection and no one had tampered with it. You don't have enough understanding to understand the overall higher input. And so you have all these scholars who have gone and they've translated, retranslated, put their interpretation, fixed it where they wanted it fixed, took it out, did whatever they wanted to do with it. And so it is not heresy today to say, I don't believe that book. It is intelligence to say, someone could have erred. I'm going within to get my truth. I believe there's some truth in it. I believe that the myths must carry some tradition that I better pay attention to. But I don't necessarily believe that Jonah lived for days and days in the belly of a whale. You would get very seasick, both you and the whale. And then he was a nice whale. He spit him out on the land. Why didn't he just vomit him up in the water? He was already waterlogged if he'd been in there for that long. Can't you take the concept of biggerness and the possibilities of this God that you can somehow accept created you and quit limiting him? Parables come to help you understand, and you latch on to the parable. The words are not important. The concept is your salvation, because it points you back into the road that the Indians call the Red Path. It points you back to God, where you begin to remember what you were capable of doing and being. And the total acceptance of self for stepping off that road and blundering. And you don't go through great horrendous, forgive me. What is there to forgive? It was an experience. And if you were bad enough, you'll be banished from the tribe for a bit of time. And maybe forever, if you were really rotten, you know, and killed a brother. It was a rather practical way to live. And yet, you call them heathens. Pagans. Pagans, defined as ones who have many gods. Forget it. The Aborigines, and that means the original man, don't misunderstand that they're just over in Australia. Aborigines means original man, human. God called them human people. You are the intruders. And look what a good job you've done. They have one God. One God. And that is the Great Spirit. And they honor Creator as almost a separate entity. And creation, mother or grandmother, grandfather and grandmother, the nurturing, recycling, rebirthing of the creation is mother or grandmother.
Excuse me.
Yes.
My question is in relation to the subject on Jesus. In the Philippines, there's a lot of individuals who claim to have been possessed by the so-called Santo Niño, infant Jesus. And thereafter, they would do some healing and would even have voices of kids, you know. They're not using their original voice anymore, and they act like a kid, while at the same time doing some healing and all these readings. Plus the fact that there are people also who have pictures of so-called Jesus, and they have a copy of that, which when they took these pictures from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they have this film developed, this was the picture which showed up, which got developed. Of course, these are multiple questions. Could you please elucidate on this?
Oh yes, I enjoy this kind of question. This is very real, but it is not necessarily reality in your dimensional form of manifestation. And all ones who would say, well, the infant Jesus has come to me, they will call this infant Jesus because they don't know what else to call it. This energy of this Christ. And usually it will come in the form of something described. It was a grandfather. And it would be in the form of something that you can love and hold. Brahma is particularly close to the one she calls grandfather. She would kick me out in a minute. And yet what's the difference? I can pull more power, but you're a lot happier, aren't you, sitting on grandfather's knee? Especially if in your past experiences you can relate to a grandfather of great wisdom that's going to wrap those wings around you and close out all the things that hurt you if you just grow in strength according to his rules. This is why it's the theory of the 100th monkey. And I know that this will seem to you like I'm changing the subject. I'm not. If you have monkeys on one island and they have a bunch of potatoes and they're dropped in the dirt, pretty soon, or maybe it will be longer, but you will find monkeys 100 or more later washing their potatoes, and maybe they don't have a reason to do it. This is what thought is. It is projected. And you've had great inventors tell you this. Once it's into the ethers, it's like it just flowed on me. And many ones from different corners will call and say, I found the answer. And it'll be the same. This is proof. You don't accept it as proof, but this is proof that there's only one, and there's only light, and all thought is there. You have just plucked it out. Because all habit, and it goes out from all ones. But my very voice, to move that little finger like that, does not stop with this room, with your eyes. It goes to the living ends, if there were any. It spirals all around the universe. And this is where you must come up into understanding. And when you can have healing, two things happen. The one doing the healing accepts that it is not they doing it. It is a higher energy that has been called upon. And the one receiving has accepted it, even if they don't realize it. They will have accepted it. And yes, you can have healing without the receiver even knowing it. Very physical healing. But most of the ones doing the healing don't trust themselves enough to pull that off. You're going to go through all those machinations of touch the forehead and everybody falls over. That's the show of it. But it's real. It's true. That's the sad part of it. It is mind. It is thought projection. And all of you have it, except that you don't use it. And the term Jesus came with Cortez and Christopher Columbus and those early ones who knew all about religion. And they were certainly going to clean up these heathens. And they were going to do it in the name of Paul's Jesus. And this master hears, he doesn't care if you call him Jesus. The point is, he was the Christ energy. And that Christ energy has projected unto all men of all time equally. And therefore, this Christ is called by many names. The Indians thought of him as the Pale Prophet, as he came to them, quite frankly, right out of Pleiades, a very tall life, very pale teacher, who could be anywhere, was everywhere, to their council meetings without effort, and always taught truth. So you're dealing with a very tangible God. Very, very tangible God. And you can play all the mystical games that you want to with it. But it's going to be the wise man who allows the possibility of it. Because when you're on the rooftop and the water's to your chin, you're going to be awfully glad you left that possibility open. That, well, maybe it'll be a silver craft instead of a fluffy cloud. Because God understands the inability to let go of these other things. You're terrified to let go. And yet you can't cover all your bases, can you? I mean, there is a limit to how many colors you could put on your body. The clothes will weigh you down. And when you are drowning, they will help you drown. All of these things can be tools for your higher growth and higher understanding. And if you can sit in a pyramid or a hovel under a tree, copper pipes, crystals, I don't care what it is. If that helps you connect with God, then it's a worthy tool. If you put your emphasis on that thing, it won't do anything except delude you. Susie will appreciate this. This goes with Brahma all the time. And yet you know what this crystal represents to Dharma? Susie. It represents a friend. And actually there's more to this. This helps tuning. It's a crystal. It's a receiver. And it can carry ill energies. This one carries very good ones. but it's not the crystal. Crystals can have a very mechanical use. And basically they should be left where they are because that's where they are to be used. But it's like the cow you've killed and then you let the meat spoil because you refuse to eat it. If once a crystal is plucked, do you cast it out or do you love it for the gift it is? So all you have to do is come back to your source and you'll know the truth of it. If there is anything in a teaching that causes you to be ill against another, it's not a truthful teaching. If you have a minister that says, I believe in capital punishment, you better check him out. You may not be able to make your own decision about that because of the heinousness of a particular crime, perhaps. But I'm sorry. You can give punishment. You have no right to kill. And by your judgment, you have killed the same as the one who drops the cyanide pill. And what about that man's soul? Oh, well, I closed my eyes and I pulled the lever. The executioner knew exactly what he was doing. So you have just butchered several energy forms, the least of which is the one you kill. Because usually they would prefer that didn't happen. So you have used force, you have made judgment, and you have executed. And if you have a minister that will stand there and say that abortion is of God, look out. That is not the same thing as saying, as President of the United States, I will uphold your right, whatever the law says. Because the law of God says, thou shalt not kill. And from the moment you had irresponsible sex, you created the problem. You can go far and wide and you can talk about virgin births, and I want to tell you BS to virgin births. There is a way to produce a child, and that is a male and a female coming into union. How that union occurs can be up for discussion, not what the union was. So don't come to me with that's not a life form. The moment that sperm hits that egg and introduces itself within, life has just begun. So the time for the nullifying was before the act, at the point of responsibility. Does that mean because you had an abortion you are lost forever to God? Of course not. You are a product of a society and you have a world with 7 billion people and you have governments now going to depopulate. None of it's right. If you didn't know any better and this is what you were taught, even though instinctively your guts were eating you up, you can escape. But once you know it's wrong, you cannot condone it or your soul will pay and it will punish you. I didn't say God would punish you. I didn't say I would punish you. Your soul punishes you. Because through your act of irresponsibility, you have damaged God. And why are most abortions performed? Because it's inconvenient to have the child. Well, I suppose it's too inconvenient to get the condom. They pass them out free to your babies now. But certainly do not let us take the responsibility of teaching our children responsibility for their actions. They have a right to do these things and feel these wonderful pleasures, do they? Is it worth your soul and the pain that you shall feel when you meet God and say, hey, I was all for that? Because most of you are going to meet him and say, hey, I was all for that. And he's going to say, I know. I'm not interested in what you were. I'm interested in what you are. And I see that no matter how hard you tried, you didn't understand. And in that behalf comes the Christ, who says, I tried to teach them, Father, and I failed. Forgive them. And that's what old Hatton gets to do a lot of. I tried to teach them, Father, and I failed. They still thought it was all right to murder babies. There isn't any murdering of babies in the higher dimensions. None. Zero. And anyone who still murders babies and intends to murder babies will not come aboard my ship. You can murder all the babies you want till you enter that door. And then you better come in with a good, clean, honest intent that you will never murder or care to murder another child. You are now anti-abortion when you get to my door. Because where I go, goes responsibility, and we don't have that kind of behavior to get us into that kind of trouble. You don't have a president sleeping around. That's irresponsibility. That is allocated to the physical plane of irresponsibility. And yet, you see, I don't have to go one by one by one and argue this point. I know how it is. And you don't have to agree with me, and you can continue doing whatever you want to do. I can only tell you that I'm on the other side, and I know what it is. And you've got to guess, don't you, whether I'm right or wrong. But you have a sneaking suspicion I'm right. And this is what mankind doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to give up what he is told is all right to do and is his right to do. You've been trained. You have been trained from the cradle. You have been told it would only take 3 generations and you've had it. You're past the 3rd generation. And it will only be through teachings like this that you will find the truth. And from the hidden books, they're getting rid of them now. They're getting rid of them now. And if you could have gotten what would have been the original Bibles, you see, Jesus never wrote anything, neither did Esau Emmanuel. You won't ever even know whether or not he could have. But certainly they didn't have a computer to sit down and type like Dorma, even with mistakes. You know, they had to find something and a turkey quill, something to make a mark with. But don't get confused with somebody like Moses, who comes down with carved tablets from a spacecraft, because we did a better job than that. And what he came back down with were computer chips of emerald, and they were called the Emerald Tablets. And somewhere they are. And they hold, just like those crystal skulls, the story of your universe. So you've been told a whole heap of garbage. That does not mean that you cannot come with the entire whole cloth story if you know what you're looking for, because those prophecies told you how it would be. They've tried to take that away from you. They've tried to ridicule the prophets and the true seers. And it's gotten confused. But you're going to come back now to truth. I received a letter from a wonderful young man, I believe Navajo. And he said, I've tried everything to work in your world of white people. I cannot do it. And yet I cannot pull myself away. I'm locked into this trap. And yet I know I must go back to the spiritual. And yet your truth rings true to me. It's because it's the truth. And he doesn't have to be sitting in front of a campfire at powwow time to hear truth. It's that the ancients held the truth. And they, just like all of you, drifted away from it. First put upon, imprisoned, everything taken away. And wouldn't you, if everything had been stolen from you, if you could get back at them just a little bit, don't you think you would do it? I'm going to charge them $25 just to come look at me. And I'm going to build a sweat lodge. I can tell them anything, those white eyes. And we'll have a little co-educational bit going on, and they'll really think that's neat because they like those hot tubs. And then they got a little carried away, and the elders allowed this to happen. So that you could go down to Hopiville in Arizona to the Mesas. You could pay your money and bring your cameras and go in to the most sacred of their ceremonies, and you could come out saying, ooh, they are evil. They dance with snakes, rattlesnakes. And then they'll do a whole special on television for you, these heathens and pagans with all their gods. No! What in the world would they want to dance with snakes for? Because they believed in the one God of light, the Great Spirit. Now, whether this is wisdom or not is one question, and it's none of my business. But the point is that the Great Spirit can overcome the evil that is represented by a snake with venom. And if it bites me, I can prevail because Great Spirit will protect me. Now, I don't care what the ritual is or even what it means today. In the beginning, that's what it represented. And they do reverence to that which they eat. If they kill, they do reverence and honor unto that being that served. And yet they too, just like all of you, have drifted away and fallen into the ways of the evil path. It's called the black path, the dark path. Is it evil? It was just what there was to do. It's just what we did. Whatever you do, it's just what you did. It's what you do. It's what is. And all the figuring and thinking around is going to change one iota of it because it's over. This moment, it's over. But you better get nervous. And all those wide-eyed tourists better get nervous. And all those Indians who sold out their heritage better get nervous. Because now the elders are coming down and they said, this is evil. And now, this is how close you are to the changing of this cycle. They are closing those dances to tourists. You may as well not go to Mesa 3 this year for the war dance or the home dance. There's some very precious ones. And the snake dance has been closed already. But it means something. And it doesn't mean the color of your skin. It means your intent, and you will not defile the sacred ritual unto God. It is not the ritual that does it. It is the honor of the God, that one God. And yes, spring has a name, and we dance to spring, and we dance to the corn, and to the harvest, and we burn sage. If the intent is not there, it has no energy. It has to be given energy of thought and light to have any impact whatsoever. We could burn a bale of sage on this table until we all pass out. And if you think pot is good, boy, this will make you ascend. But it isn't the sage. But it's a tradition. Grandfather always responds to sweetgrass. And evil doesn't like sage. Well, if you burn enough of it, none of us like it. That's not the point. It means something because it means something in the heart of the man offering unto God. And that's the sacredness of the pipe. And when you have a tradition of higher teachers who take the pipe, then it to me is sacrilege and heresy for a bunch of tourists to come in and buy a pipe and tamp it full of something, sit there and smoke it, and make offerings to the four directions. It's a lie, you see. They're mimicking. They're hoping that somehow this purity will rub off on them if I go through this symbolic gesture. And I want to tell you, if your intent is right and you do these things, it's going to rub off. It's going to rub off. But what man has come to be is someone who sucks from another because he can't find what he thinks the other one has. And blessed be the ones who have found. Because there are a zillion ways, and yet only one path, only one. And it's you and God. Your church can go through all of the names they want to list. And it's still just God. And if all of the churches and synagogues want to come over here and put down me as being satanic, then I don't think it's me who's sick. It's ones who have listened to the teachers, and they're always in the human form. And if a man told you, then it was a man who told you. And if you go out of here and say, well, that Doris Ecker told me, you'll make grave, grave error. Let's have another question. Tell me when we've run out of time.
This is question D. Is not evil caused from influence from many past lives, as man is inherently good, wherein he feels guilt? So why can't a big effort be made to help these sick minds?
Man is neither inherently good or evil. Man is birthed and does innately know good from bad or right from wrong, however you want to say. Oh, try it again. I think I answered it. I don't think there can be an answer to the other part of it.
Part says, why can't a big effort be made to help these sick minds?
We are. It's truth. That's all there is.
Next question is E. This is a real easy one. What was the real reason for Kennedy's assassination?
The Committee of 300 wanted to get rid of him. It is an easy one. He was doing very many things. I think the question is asking why, specifically in Earth terms, would they want to get rid of John Kennedy? One, he was going to end the war in Vietnam, which was a very profitable operation for both the mafia and the CIA and all of the intelligence services. You see, you don't declare war anymore. You have CIAs that start wars, and they're all integrated. And he was also tangled up the underground, the adversary, the CIA, wanted to get rid of Castro. And so you had the Bay of Pigs, and he didn't cooperate fully with it. He didn't cooperate until he knew there were missiles down there. But the point was, Castro had come in and was going to nationalize all of the business that was in Cuba, and that took the mafia's money. So Kennedy had to go, and then Robert had to go. And basically, you still have the same thing, except that now you have 100% participation with, you have now gotten the king of the CIA into the highest office. And so he is now protecting those interests. Kennedy just hadn't quite cut the mustard yet.
Who is wiping the memory of the Earthling's past lives from his subconscious mind?
Nobody. If you could reach it, there's no way to wipe it away. You don't have any need for dwelling in that past. You need to be working on the present and moving toward a perceived future in case you get there. And I would take exception to anyone who said, well, I have so much karma I must pay off. You can accept as much karma as you want to cop out on doing your job. And that essentially is the way I feel about it. And you don't know what you did in some other lifetime. I don't care who takes you back there to experience. That's fun and games. And it's unrealistic. And what in the world are you going to do if and when you find out? blame somebody else, right? So it can be very interesting, but no one.
This is tape number 2, April 26, 1992.
There was a beautiful evangelist, a gentleman who literally has it all about right. But there are a few things like reincarnation that he damns everybody to hell about if they believe it. Can't be, you know. Well, ones don't bother to study. You will never recycle in a lower life form than you are. Never, 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 never. A tree is a tree is a tree, and you are human. And you didn't come out of the tree, nor did you come out of the sea. And yet you can evolve a being, say, from out of the bath water of the sea, if you mix the right DNA characteristics. So God is not careless. He knows exactly what he's doing, and the order in the universe is perfection. And you hardly ripple it. That's our job, not to let you ripple it. This gentleman went to the Holy Land and went to the Mount of the Crucifixions. And someone were at the foot of the cross, and he was looking up. They have a shrine, you know, where you can now go worship something else. This is the spot. Well, what they don't know is they have the wrong spot. Just like they want to build a temple where the mosque is, both of them are the wrong spot. But it makes for a good war, and that's what we're about, isn't it? Let's have a war over what I believe versus what you believe. So at any rate, someone said, oh, I have been here 8 times and I always get this upliftment. Have you ever been here before? And the evangelist said, yes, I have. And I'm mortified because I did nothing and it was 2,000 years ago. How could it have been 2,000 years ago if you don't have reincarnation? Well, spiritually, why would you come to this spot when you've got the real thing in spirit? So ones do not think. And who told you that? Who did you get to witness being crucified 2,000 years ago? Jesus. He spilled his blood for me. He took all my sins. I felt them go. You just lied to yourself. His name was not Jesus, it was Esau Emmanuel, Yeshua. He didn't die for you, you once murdered him. He didn't hop on that cross and say, here, do it to me, brothers. Let's do it. Now that's something you've conjured up. And if he did it, how in the world does that do anything to you? Oh, well, because I believe, I know that he has intervened for me. Why would he do that? He knows the story of life. And if he only knows the story of the cosmos, he knows better than to do that. It's going to be worse than a little crucifixion to butt into your life and not allow you to answer for your own actions, whatever they might be. nor would he judge your actions, whatever they might be. So you would like to. So ones who wish to take that book and go through it are only going to be able to interpret it, even if it were total perfection and no one had tampered with it. You don't have enough understanding to understand the overall higher input. And so you have all these scholars who have gone and they've translated, retranslated, put their interpretation, fixed it where they wanted it fixed, took it out, did whatever they wanted to do with it. And so it is not heresy today to say, I don't believe that book. It is intelligence to say, someone could have erred. I'm going within to get my truth. I believe there's some truth in it. I believe that the myths must carry some tradition that I better pay attention to. But I don't necessarily believe that Jonah lived for days and days in the belly of a whale. You would get very seasick, both you and the whale. And then he was a nice whale. He spit him out on the land. Why didn't he just vomit him up in the water? He was already waterlogged if he'd been in there for that long. Can't you take the concept of biggerness and the possibilities of this God that you can somehow accept created you and quit limiting him? Parables come to help you understand, and you latch on to the parable. The words are not important. The concept is your salvation, because it points you back into the road that the Indians called the Red Path. It points you back to God, where you begin to remember what you were capable of doing and being. And the total acceptance of self for stepping off that road and blundering. And you don't go through great horrendous, forgive me. What is there to forgive? It was an experience. And if you were bad enough, you'll be banished from the tribe for a bit of time. And maybe forever, if you were really rotten, you know, and killed a brother. It was a rather practical way to live. And yet, you call them heathens. Pagans. Pagans, defined as ones who have many gods. Forget it. The Aborigines, and that means the original man, don't misunderstand that they're just over in Australia. Aborigines means original man, human. God called them human people. You are the intruders. And look what a good job you've done. They have one God. One God. And that is the Great Spirit. And they honor Creator as almost a separate entity. And creation, mother or grandmother, grandfather and grandmother, the nurturing, recycling, rebirthing of the creation is mother or grandmother.
Excuse me.
Yes.
My question is in relation to the subject on Jesus. In the Philippines, there's a lot of individuals who claim to have been possessed by the so-called Santo Niño, Infant Jesus. And thereafter, they would do some healing and would even have voices of kids. You know? They're not using their original voice anymore, and they act like a kid, while at the same time doing some healing and all these readings. Plus the fact that there are people also who have pictures of so-called Jesus, and they have a copy of that, which when they took these pictures from the Mount of Transfiguration, and they have this film developed, this was the picture which showed up, which got developed. Of course, these are multiple questions. Could you please elucidate on this?
Oh yes, I enjoy this kind of question. This is very real, but it is not necessarily reality in your dimensional form of manifestation. And all ones who would say, well, the infant Jesus has come to me, they will call this infant Jesus because they don't know what else to call it. This energy of this Christ. And usually it will come in the form of something described. It was a grandfather. And it will be in the form of something that you can love and hold. Brahma is particularly close to the one she calls grandfather. She would kick me out in a minute. And yet what's the difference? I can pull more power, but you're a lot happier, aren't you, sitting on grandfather's knee? Especially if in your past experiences you can relate to a grandfather of great wisdom that's going to wrap those wings around you and close out all the things that hurt you if you just grow in strength according to his rules. This is why it's the theory of the 100th monkey. And I know that this will seem to you like I'm changing the subject. I'm not. If you have monkeys on one island and they have a bunch of potatoes and they're dropped in the dirt, pretty soon, or maybe it will be longer, but you will find monkeys 100 or more later washing their potatoes, and maybe they don't have a reason to do it. This is what thought is. It is projected. And you've had great inventors tell you this. Once it's into the ethers, it's like it just flowed on me. And many ones from different corners will call and say, I found the answer. And it'll be the same. This is proof. You don't accept it as proof, but this is proof that there's only one, and there's only light, and all thought is there. You have just plucked it out. Because all habit, and it goes out from all ones. But my very voice to move that little finger like that does not stop with this room, with your eyes. It goes to The living ends, if there were any, it spirals all around the universe. And this is where you must come up into understanding. And when you can have healing, two things happen. The one doing the healing accepts that it is not they doing it. It is a higher energy that has been called upon. And the one receiving has accepted it, even if they don't realize it. They will have accepted it. And yes, you can have healing without the receiver even knowing it. Very physical healing. But most of the ones doing the healing don't trust themselves enough to pull that off. You're going to go through all those machinations of touch the forehead and everybody falls over. That's the show of it. But it's real. It's true. That's the sad part of it. It is mind. It is thought projection. And all of you have it, except that you don't use it. And the term Jesus came with Cortez and Christopher Columbus and those early ones who knew all about religion. And they were certainly going to clean up these heathens. And they were going to do it in the name of Paul's Jesus. And this master hears, he doesn't care if you call him Jesus. The point is, he was the Christ energy. And that Christ energy has projected unto all men of all time equally. And therefore, this Christ is called by many names. The Indians thought of him as the Pale Prophet, as he came to them, quite frankly, right out of Pleiades, a very tall life. Very pale teacher who could be anywhere, was everywhere to their council meetings without effort and always taught truth. So you're dealing with a very tangible God. Very, very tangible God. And you can play all the mystical games that you want to with it. But it's going to be the wise man who allows the possibility of it. Because when you're on the rooftop and the water's to your chin, you're going to be awfully glad you left that possibility open. That, well, maybe it'll be a silver craft instead of a fluffy cloud. Because God understands the inability to let go of these other things. You're terrified to let go. And yet you can't cover all your bases, can you? I mean, there is a limit to how many colors you could put on your body. The clothes will weigh you down. And when you are drowning, they will help you drown. All of these things can be tools for your higher growth and higher understanding. And if you can sit in a pyramid or a hovel under a tree, copper pipes, crystals, I don't care what it is. If that helps you connect with God, then it's a worthy tool. If you put your emphasis on that thing, it won't do anything except delude you. Susie will appreciate this. This goes with them all the time. And yet you know what this crystal represents to Dharma? Susie. It represents a friend. And actually, there's more to this. This helps tuning. It's a crystal. It's a receiver. And it can carry ill energies. This one carries very good ones. But it's not the crystal. Crystals can have a very mechanical use. And basically they should be left where they are because that's where they are to be used. But it's like the cow you've killed and then you let the meat spoil because you refuse to eat it. If once a crystal is plucked, do you cast it out or do you love it for the gift it is? So all you have to do is come back to your source and you'll know the truth of it. If there is anything in a teaching that causes you to be ill against another, it's not a truthful teaching. If you have a minister that says, I believe in capital punishment, you better check him out. You may not be able to make your own decision about that because of the heinousness of a particular crime, perhaps. But I'm sorry. You can give punishment. You have no right to kill. And by your judgment, you have killed the same as the one who drops the cyanide pill. And what about that man's soul? Oh, well, I closed my eyes and I pulled the lever. The executioner knew exactly what he was doing. So you have just butchered several energy forms, the least of which is the one you kill. Because usually they would prefer that didn't happen. So you have used force, you have made judgment, and you have executed. And if you have a minister that will stand there and say that abortion is of God, look out. That is not the same thing as saying, as President of the United States, I will uphold your right, whatever the law says. Because the law of God says, thou shalt not kill. And from the moment you had irresponsible sex, you created the problem. You can go far and wide and you can talk about virgin births, and I want to tell you BS to virgin births. There is a way to produce a child, and that is a male and a female coming into union. How that union occurs can be up for discussion, not what the union was. So don't come to me where that's not a life form. The moment that sperm hits that egg and introduces itself within, life has just begun. So the time for the nullifying was before the act, at the point of responsibility. Does that mean because you had an abortion you are lost forever to God? Of course not. You are a product of a society, and you have a world with 7 billion people, and you have governments now going to depopulate. None of it's right. If you didn't know any better and this is what you were taught, even though instinctively your guts were eating you up, you can escape But once you know it's wrong, you cannot condone it, or your soul will pay, and it will punish you. I didn't say God would punish you. I didn't say I would punish you. Your soul punishes you. Because through your act of irresponsibility, you have damaged God. And why are most abortions performed? Because it's inconvenient to have the child. Well, I suppose it's too inconvenient to get the condom. They pass them out free to your babies now. But certainly do not let us take the responsibility of teaching our children responsibility for their actions. They have a right to do these things and feel these wonderful pleasures. Do they? Is it worth your soul and the pain that you shall feel when you meet God and say, hey, I was all for that? Because most of you are going to meet him and say, hey, I was all for that. And he's going to say, I know. I'm not interested in what you were. I'm interested in what you are. And I see that no matter how hard you tried, you didn't understand. And in that behalf comes the Christ, who says, I tried to teach them, Father, and I failed. Forgive them. And that's what old Hatan gets to do a lot of. I tried to teach them, Father, and I failed. They still thought it was all right to murder babies. There isn't any murdering of babies in the higher dimensions. None. Zero. And anyone who still murders babies and intends to murder babies will not come aboard my ship. You can murder all the babies you want till you enter that door. And then you better come in with a good, clean, honest intent that you will never murder or care to murder another child. You are now anti-abortion when you get to my door. Because where I go, goes responsibility, and we don't have that kind of behavior to get us into that kind of trouble. You don't have a president sleeping around. That's irresponsibility. That is allocated to the physical plane of irresponsibility. And yet, you see, I don't have to go one by one by one and argue this point. I know how it is. And you don't have to agree with me, and you can continue doing whatever you want to do. I can only tell you that I'm on the other side, and I know what it is. And you've got to guess, don't you, whether I'm right or wrong. But you have a sneaking suspicion I'm right. And this is what mankind doesn't want to give up. He doesn't want to give up what he is told is all right to do and is his right to do. You've been trained. You have been trained from the cradle. You have been told it would only take 3 generations, and you've had it. You've passed the 3rd generation. And it will only be through teachings like this that you will find the truth. And from the hidden books, they're getting rid of them now. They're getting rid of them now. And if you could have gotten what would have been the original Bibles, you see, Jesus never wrote anything, neither did Esau Emmanuel. You won't ever even know whether or not he could have. But certainly they didn't have a computer to sit down and type like Dorma, even with mistakes. You know, they had to find something and a turkey quill, something to make a mark with. But don't get confused with somebody like Moses, who comes down with carved tablets from a spacecraft, because we get a better job than that. And what he came back down with were computer chips of emerald, and they were called the emerald tablets. And somewhere they are, and they hold, just like those crystal skulls, the story of your universe. So you've been told a whole heap of garbage. That does not mean that you cannot come with the entire whole cloth story if you know what you're looking for. Because those prophecies told you how it would be. They've tried to take that away from you. They've tried to ridicule the prophets and the true seers. And it's gotten confused. But you're going to come back now to truth. I received a letter from a wonderful young man, I believe Navajo, and he said, I've tried everything to work in your world of white people. I cannot do it, and yet I cannot pull myself away. I'm locked into this trap, and yet I know I must go back to the spiritual, and yet your truth brings truth to me. It's because it's the truth. And he doesn't have to be sitting in front of a campfire at powwow time to hear truth. It's that the ancients held the truth. And they, just like all of you, drifted away from it. First put upon, imprisoned, everything taken away. And wouldn't you, if everything had been stolen from you, if you could get back at them just a little bit, don't you think you would do it? I'm going to charge them $25 just to come look at me. And I'm going to build a sweat lodge. I could tell them anything. Those white eyes. And we'll have a little co-educational bit going on, and they'll really think that's neat because they like those hot tubs. And then they got a little carried away, and the elders allowed this to happen. So that you could go down to Hopiville in Arizona to the Mesas. You could pay your money and bring your cameras and go in to the most sacred of their ceremonies, and you could come out saying, ooh, they are evil. They dance with snakes, rattlesnakes. And then they'll do a whole special on television for you, these heathens and pagans with all their gods. No. What in the world would they want to dance with snakes for? Because they believed in the one God of light, the Great Spirit. Now, whether this is wisdom or not is one question, and it's none of my business. But the point is that the Great Spirit can overcome the evil that is represented by a snake. With venom. And if it bites me, I can prevail because Great Spirit will protect me. Now, I don't care what the ritual is or even what it means today. In the beginning, that's what it represented. And they do reverence to that which they eat. If they kill, they do reverence and honor unto that being that served. And yet they too, just like all of you, have drifted away and fallen into the ways of the evil path. It's called the black path, the dark path. Is it evil? It was just what there was to do. It's just what we did. Whatever you do, it's just what you did. It's what you do. It's what is. And all the figuring and thinking around is going to change one iota of it because it's over. This moment, it's over. But you better get nervous. And all those wide-eyed tourists better get nervous. And all those Indians who sold out their heritage better get nervous, because now the elders are coming down and they said, this is evil. And now, this is how close you are to the changing of this cycle. They are closing those dances to tourists. You may as well not go to Mesa 3 this year for the war dance or the home dance. There's some very precious ones. And the snake dance has been closed already. But it means something. And it doesn't mean the color of your skin. It means your intent. And you will not defile the sacred ritual unto God. It is not the ritual that does it. It is the honor of the God, that one God. And yes, spring has a name, and we dance to spring, and we dance to the corn, and to the harvest, and we burn sage. If the intent is not there, it has no energy. It has to be given energy of thought and light to have any impact whatsoever. We could burn a bale of sage on this table until we all pass out. And if you think pot is good, boy, this will make you ascend. But it isn't the sage, but it's a tradition. Grandfather always responds to sweetgrass. And evil doesn't like sage. Well, if you burn enough of it, none of us like it. That's not the point. It means something because it means something in the heart of the man offering unto God. And that's the sacredness of the pipe. And when you have a tradition of higher teachers who take the pipe, then it to me is sacrilege and heresy for a bunch of tourists to come in and buy a pipe and tamp it full of something, sit there and smoke it, and make offerings to the four directions. It's a lie, you see. They're mimicking. They're hoping that somehow this purity will rub off on them if I go through this symbolic gesture. And I want to tell you, if your intent is right and you do these things, it's going to rub off. It's going to rub off. But what man has come to be is someone who sucks from another because he can't find what he thinks the other one has. And blessed be the ones who have found. Because there are a zillion ways, and yet only one path. Only one. And it's you and God. Your church can go through all of the names they want to list. And it's still just God. And if all of the churches and synagogues want to come over here and put down me as being satanic, then I don't think it's me who's sick. It's ones who have listened to the teachers, and they're always in the human form. And if a man told you, then it was a man who told you. And if you go out of here and say, well, that Doris Eckert told me, you'll make grave, grave error. Let's have another question. Tell me when we've run out of time.
This is question D. Is not evil caused from implants from many past lives, as man is inherently good, wherein he feels guilt? So why can't a big effort be made to help these sick minds?
Man is neither inherently good or evil. Man is birthed and does innately know good from bad or right from wrong, however you want to say. Oh. Try it again. I think I answered it. I don't think there can be an answer to the other part of it.
Part it says, why can't a big effort be made to help these sick minds?
We are. It's truth. That's all there is.
Next question is E. This is a real easy one. What was the real reason for Kennedy's assassination?
The committee of 300 wanted to get rid of him. It is an easy one. He was doing very many things. I think the question is asking why, specifically in Earth terms, would they want to get rid of John Kennedy? One, he was going to end the war in Vietnam, which was a very profitable operation for both the mafia and the CIA and all of the intelligence services. You see, you don't declare war anymore. You have CIAs that start wars, and they're all integrated. And he was also tangled up the underground, the adversary, the CIA, wanted to get rid of Castro. And so you had the Bay of Pigs, and he didn't cooperate fully with it. He didn't cooperate until he knew there were missiles down there. But the point was, Castro had come in and was going to nationalize all of the business that was in Cuba, and that took the mafia's money. So Kennedy had to go, and then Robert had to go. And basically, you still have the same thing, except that now you have 100% participation with, you have now gotten the king of the CIA into the highest office. And so he is now protecting those interests. Kennedy just hadn't quite cut the mustard yet.
Who is wiping the memory of the Earthling's past lives from his subconscious mind?
Nobody. If you could reach it, there's no way to wipe it away. You don't have any need for dwelling in that past. You need to be working on the present and moving toward a perceived future in case you get there. And I would take exception to anyone who said, well, I have so much karma I must pay off. you can accept as much karma as you want to cop out on doing your job. And that essentially is the way I feel about it. And you don't know what you did in some other lifetime. I don't care who takes you back there to experience. That's fun and games. And it's unrealistic. And what in the world are you going to do if and when you find out? Blame somebody else, right? So it can be very interesting, but no one